Ephesians chapter 3. We covered a lot of material last week, and I'm going to, over the weeks, probably repeat what has gone on before. I would have ended at the end of the second chapter last week, but the first part of the third chapter had to do with it, so I went on into it. Now I'm going to go back to the second chapter again. Verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Following the prohibitions of the world do not work in restraining sensual indulgence. We mentioned that last week, but I want to dwell on that first part, that first sentence. Since you died with Christ, I want to tie it in with the children's message. I said there's certain things you are and certain things you do. And normally you do out of what you are. In the English, I mentioned this before, but what is called the indicative. The podium is on the floor. The Bible is on the podium. That's an indicative statement. That's just what it is. That's just where it is. It doesn't do anything. It's just there. Okay? There's certain things that are just true. Since you died with Christ, that's something that has already happened. That is so. It's not something you do. It's something that is. And since something is that you are dead with Christ, you died with Christ, then certain things come out of that. That's a given. If you are a Christian, there's certain things that are just true. And what comes out of that truth of what you are should represent that truth. Since you died with Christ, it just says, don't act like the world. In this case, it says, do not act like the world's attempt to be pure. The world's attempt to be pure doesn't work. The world starts from the outside and tries to change the inside. They make rules of what you do and don't do. And they do not work. They do not change the inside. Goes on to say the same sort of thing in chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. That's just another way of saying, since you are a Christian, you died with him and rose again with him. Since you are a Christian, do something based upon what you are. And what he tells us to do is set your hearts on things above. That should not be difficult because you have been raised with Christ. If I'm telling somebody who has not been raised with Christ to set his heart on things above, he thinks you're crazy. He cannot do it. But it's not wrong or impossible for a person who has been raised with Christ. It should be the normal thing to set his heart on things above. I mentioned certain things are indicative and certain things are imperative. Imperative are commands. And the commands follow the indicative. Since then you've been raised with Christ, that's the indicative, set your hearts on things above. Okay, that's the command. For Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's an indicative statement. That nothing changes that. That's just true. Set your minds, that's an imperative, on things above. So you set your hearts on things above. You set your mind on things above for two reasons. You have been raised with Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So your heart and mind is set upon things above because that's where we have been raised and that's where Jesus Christ is. He is saying that these commands are normal commands, normal things to do because that's where we are. For you died. That's already happened. It's not something you do, it's something that has happened. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I've read that expression many times, and it jumped out at me this morning, so I had a hard time believing it, and so I looked up other versions, and it says the same thing. You know what it is to be hidden? Well, of course, one thing to be hidden is like hide and seek. They can't see you. But another thing is to be hidden is to be protected. And here it tells us not only did we die, but our life is hidden with Christ in God. We're protected in God with Jesus Christ. Remember, these first two chapters have been heavy on who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. Very heavy. And now we've so identified with him, we've died with him, we've risen with him, we're hidden with him, protected with him in God. And then there's going to be a future indicative, if that's a possibility. I'm not sure that is. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. It's still not something you do. It's just something it's going to be. When Jesus Christ is revealed, we're going to be revealed also. Where are we going to be revealed? With him. And where is that? In glory. When he appears, we appear. When he's revealed, we're revealed. And we're revealed with him. It's not, again, something we do. There's no command there. All the wonderful things are not commands. All the wonderful things are just so. Now, because we have these wonderful things, we are told to set our hearts on those wonderful things. Set our minds on those wonderful things. We've died with him. We've risen with him. We're hidden with him. All of this is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't tell us any specifics in this first paragraph. It's just speaking of a general command to set our hearts and minds up here because that's where he saved us to be. Now we have a conjunction. It's the word therefore in verse 5. And the therefore is based upon these indicatives that have gone on before. Now he's getting specific. Therefore, the therefore is based upon since you've been raised with Christ, for you died, those statements, since that is so, therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So wait a minute, I thought that was done. The this will be hard to say, and I may miss it in any kind of illustration. So forgive the illustration, just stay with the text. There's a difference between the disease and the symptoms. If I have a serious disease, I may have symptoms of pain and many other things. The symptoms are not the disease. If I cure the disease, the symptoms should go away. Sometimes people try to cure the symptoms and they don't try to cure the disease. For instance, if I have cancer of the lungs, but do not know I have cancer of the lungs, all I know is I've got a headache. So I go to the doctor with this headache, and he prescribes some codeine, and I take the codeine, and my headache disappears, and I die of cancer. We can try to cure the symptoms and not touch the disease. I've been with places in the world where the habit was to swear all the time, say bad words. Everything was swearing. And periodically, somebody would feel bad about it and tell the rest of the office or whatever they shouldn't swear. So they'd have a cuss cup. And every time you said a bad word, you put a quarter in the cup. And pretty soon, you got to be poor. And you loved money more than you loved swearing. So people would try to quit swearing. But what they were doing is taking the aspirin for the headache. They were trying to cure symptoms instead of cure the disease. But there are possibilities of, that's wrong. We know that's wrong. There is such a thing as sin disease, and there is such a thing as sin's symptoms. The reason people use bad words, those are sins, is because they have a disease called sin. This disease called sin is a malignancy. You're going to die from it. Now, you also have other symptoms called lying and cheating and stealing and adultery. These are symptoms of the disease called sin. When Jesus Christ died for our sin and sins, he died for the disease and the symptoms. And when I died with Christ and rose again with Christ, the disease was gone. Before, when I had the disease, it was normal for me to lie and do things like that. That was normal. It was like a fish living in water. It was normal. You breathed it because you did out of what you were. We did out of what we were, and we were sin, so we sinned. That was just the normal result of sin. When we received Jesus Christ, he forgave us our sins that we've been doing all of our life and took care of the sin disease, the sin nature. When I had the sin nature, I sinned symptom just as normal. Now, as a Christian, where I don't have the disease, I shouldn't have any sin symptoms. Well, there I do. You say, well, why? I don't have any adequate answer. Why? Before I had an answer. The answer was, it was normal. I did out of what I was. A Christian sins differently from a non-Christian. A Christian never sins out of what he is. He sins by choice. He chooses to sin. You say, well, other persons chose to sin too. Yes, he just made a faster decision. It was just like this. Many years ago, I don't know whether I got this from somebody else or somebody else got it from me, but I've heard it before. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is like the difference between a bobsled and a pogo stick. A bobsled has continual contact with the surface. A non-Christian bobsleds in sin. A pogo stick is where you bounce along. And a Christian pogo sticks into sin. Whoops. Whoops. Long tether. But you say, but some Christians pogo stick so often it looks like they're bobsledding. Well, there's a possibility they might not be Christians. A Christian can sin. He chooses to sin. And unlike the pogo stick, he doesn't have to come back down into it. Now, here, this next sentence tells us to get rid of the symptoms since you have gotten rid of the disease. You've died with Christ. You've risen with Christ. You've taken care of the disease. Now get rid of the symptoms. And you can just put them to death. Whatever belongs to that old disease. And he enlists them here. Sexual immorality. Put it to death. Impurity. Lust. Evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. These things are normal to somebody who has not died with Christ, who is somebody who has not risen with Christ, but they do not belong with a Christian. And he tells us here, because of these, the wrath of God is coming, and the, another little phrase that you see in the margin, upon those who are disobedient. The wrath of God is coming on those who live in them, to whom it's normal. The wrath of God is coming on non-Christians who do these things. Christians, get rid of them. You used to walk in these ways. Walk means to live. Again, like that fish lives in water. It used to be normal to you. You walked in it. You lived in it. In the life you once lived before you died with Christ, before you arose with Christ, you lived in these things like they were normal. You once lived that way. But now you must rid yourself, and the must is a imperative, and it means it's possible, and it's possible because you've died with Christ and risen with Christ. If you hadn't died with Christ, and hadn't risen with Christ, it would not be possible. You cannot tell somebody to rid yourself of something that is part of your nature. You must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger. Got that? It must go. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, it's got to go. If you're a Christian, if it hasn't gone already, it's got to be gone. And it's possible to rid yourself of these because of where you are in Jesus Christ and where you've set your heart and mind. This next verse is very good. He says, do not lie to each other. That's an imperative. That's a command. And tells us not to lie because of an indicative or a past action. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. It says you put off the old self with its practices, and now it tells us don't lie. Why does it tell us not to lie if you've put off the old self with its practices? Well, first thing, it must be possible to lie, or you wouldn't tell us not to. So putting off the old self doesn't mean that it's impossible to lie, but it means it's normal not to lie. Where before it was normal to lie. It says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self. With its practices, it's already done. It's been dead with Christ. The old self, put away. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There's a difference. The old self has been put off. The new self has been put on. Both past tense. Old self has been put off. The new self has been put on. But something's happening to the new self. It's being renewed all of the time. The new self keeps getting newer. The new self gets newer. Got that? The old self can't get anything. It's gone. The new self is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, meaning in the likeness of Jesus Christ. The new self has been put on in the past and is being renewed so you look more and more like Jesus Christ. See, well, that's not what I've been taught. I was taught that I received a new self, but I kept the old self. Well, that's not true. The old self and the new self are not coexistent in the believer. You have put off the old and have put on the new. You say, well, can I put on the old one again? Well, are you going to put off the new one then? They do not go together. And since the old self has been put off, you should not have any of the characteristics of the old self. And since the new self has been put on, you should look more and more like Jesus Christ. It's possible not to lie because those things have happened. Already true. So what we're doing is to put off symptoms that are easy to put off because they're no longer normal. We've been told sometimes as new Christians like these old things are still very normal. And they're not. They are not. They're possible, but not normal. Only normal for the unbeliever. So if I see somebody acting and living in these things, I have every good reason to think they haven't died with Christ. Every good reason to think they haven't risen with Christ. Now, sometimes it may be true that they have, but I have no evidence when this person's life is not fitting the scripture. He's already died, he's already risen. Now he is to put to death these things. He's to get rid of them. And that doesn't mean keep on getting rid of. It means get rid of it. Because it's not right. We're going to touch on this some more. It's something that is going to keep recurring in the scripture. But it is very true. I'd like you to dwell in this. Thank God for it, and begin to think like it. Just dwell in the text over and over again until you think this way. Shall we thank God? Father, we thank you very much for this memorial service this morning and for your teaching to us from the Word. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.